And I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Karen Rowell. She is Executive Director of Youth Shelters. Welcome.
Thanks for having us, Mary Charlotte. It's really nice to be here again.
It's wonderful to have you back. And Emily Folks is here. She is Interim Program Director of the Street Outreach Program at Youth Shelters. Welcome.
Hi.
And we're going to be talking about this organization and also about the fundraiser that Youth Shelters has coming up called Boots, Bolos, and Boogie. Stay tuned at the end of the program for a little bit more about that. So this is an organization that basically helps people who might be invisible to many or most of our listeners, and that is homeless teens in Santa Fe.
In crisis, runaway, and homeless teens in Santa Fe. And that really, the age range is probably from about 11 through 22. But then we also serve homeless moms and who have babies. So we serve infants and children as well.
And so these are people who have gotten in the position that they're at where they need the kind of help that you provide, sometimes through no fault of their own, but basically, what would you call it? A troubled society.
Yes. I would call it a troubled society. I would call it a society in which the family is breaking down, and also, a time when there is so much pressure on parents to make a living. I think especially in Santa Fe, where the cost of living is so high and the wages are so low. We live in a town where there's a lot of poverty, and where parents really struggle sometimes because of where they came from, where there might be generational substance abuse, intergenerational. There might be intergenerational incarceration.
Grandparents, parents, and then kids,
yes.
All addicted to whatever it is, heroin, alcohol, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Also, where domestic violence is present and it hasn't yet been really dealt with or explored. And also just lack of parenting skills.
And so people show up. I actually had the privilege of going over to the drop-in center where both of you were the other day. And it is really a wonderful place. And going there, one gets the sense, because of what's in there, of what is actually lacking in people's lives. What are some of the facilities that you have there?
We offer laundry facilities. We offer a kitchen. Plenty of food that our youth can either eat while they're there. They can also take food with them when they go. We offer clothing, hygiene products, access to shower, bathroom. We also offer computer access, internet access for job search or for educational purposes. We offer case management, counseling referrals. We do a lot of referrals out into the community for things like healthcare or education, that type of thing.
And so the young people who come there, they really make, it looks like they really make use of those services. I mean, they're things, if a kid is homeless, something that everybody else takes for granted, like a shower and toothpaste,
exactly,
becomes something that either you provide them or they don't get them.
Right. I would say with all of our programs that what we try to do initially, whether it's in the crisis shelter, in transitional living, or in our street outreach program, is first and foremost we try and meet the emergency needs. Just as a little background, 85% of the kids that we serve at youth shelters, and last year that was about 1,129 youth and their families.
That's a lot of kids in a town this size.
Yes. New Mexico is number 47 for homeless children. So there's only three other states ahead of us that have more homeless kids. There is a lot of homelessness. So when young people come to us, sometimes they come to us with the clothes on their back. Whether they've been in emergency, removed from their homes and taken to the shelter, they've been, abused and neglected and run away from home, or you know, in the program that Emily runs, where they often have been out on the street or living out on the streets or very marginally housed and are looking for, you know, a starting place, which is food, shower, safety, and then, you know, kind of stabilization.
Safety, talk about that. That must be a huge part of what you guys are providing, which is both a physical and an emotional thing.
Absolutely. I think that safety is the bare essential. So that's the very first thing that we offer. We'd like to think that through either walking into our drop-in center or making contact with one of our outreach workers on the street, our clients are a little bit safer at that point.
What kinds of unsafety do they feel and do they experience when they're out on the street?
Well, like you said, there's a lot of physical and a lot of emotional insecurities. Physically, it could be anything from the weather to other people out on the streets.
Exploitation.
Exploitation.
Sexual exploitation, trading.
Is there a lot of that here?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you think about it and you're a vulnerable youth out on the street, you have no money, no food, and somebody comes along and offers to feed you, and all of a sudden, you know, you're making this trade of sex for food, or well, you know, if you come with me, I'll give you a place to sleep, and all of a sudden, you know, that place to sleep is sort of a compromised situation.
Absolutely.
And you know, that certainly that occurs among youth in the adult, when they mix with the adult homeless population. But, you know, there's just all kinds of predators in our society. And, you know, if you're hungry and cold and looking for some place to come in out of the cold, sometimes your judgment is not that great.
Right. Absolutely. You'll sacrifice a lot just to meet those basic essentials, those basic needs.
Now, tell us a little more about the Street Outreach Program.
The Street Outreach Program is a little bit different than the other programs in that it's not a residential program. We're open from 10 to 5 Monday through Friday, and for 4 hours on Saturday. And 7 days a week we have outreach workers go out on the street with backpacks that contain basic supplies. So that's food, water, basic first aid, some hygiene, socks, things like that. So when we first make contact with the youth on the street, it usually is out in their element, out on the street. And our outreach workers are able to, you know, offer them in a safe way things that they may need. And from there, once they establish a good relationship with them, they may refer them over to the drop-in center where they can utilize things like our washer and dryer and kitchen and internet access and shower and these type of things. So at that point, when they come in, they're given a tour of our facilities, they meet the staff, and they're just able to do whatever they need to do to take care of themselves. And should they express to us that there's more that they want to do, more than they need, than, you know, food, shower, water, at that point we can move forward with some more case management, which we've been doing a ton of. And that could be job search and exploring housing situations and the education component, working towards getting a GED, that type of thing. A lot of times it's reuniting them with their families who may be out of state. I worked with a young man who were trying to get back to the West Coast so that he can reunite with his sister, who's the only family he has left at this point. So those type of things come with time.
You know, one of the things that Emily was saying I think is really important is that when kids are ready, we really try to provide more. So our basic bottom line is safety, and whether it's in the shelter, again, street outreach, whatever. But, you know, in the past, that seemed like it was enough, you know, and then kids could kind of get it back together and they could, you know, look for some entry-level job. And with the way that employment is, with the way that our economy is as a whole, we are really concentrating on education and workforce skills. And so in every one of our programs, there is an element where once we've established that, you know, do you have enough to eat? Are you clean? Do you have clothes? You know, those basic necessities. We're doing a lot of work with getting kids back on track with their with a GED. We have kids that have gone to college. Last year, we had five kids graduate from either the high school, SER Academy, or GED. We had two or three kids in college, and we had about 12 kids in process of completing their GED. And it makes a tremendous difference to them being able to then motivate and move themselves on to where they are moving on to safe and stable living situations.
One of the things that I think is really important to talk about and probably hard to deal with is the fact that when kids have a lifelong history of, let's say, substance abuse or violent abuse or just neglect or whatever those things are in their families, A, that's the norm for them, right. And B, it's the habit. It's like, how do you mm-hmm. change out of something where really that's all you know into something that's unfamiliar and not really, oh, that's the way those people are, that's not the way we are. Like, how do you change that?
Time. You know, it takes time. And, you know, one of the things that is, I don't know, Emily, if you have the same experience, but my experience has been, I've been in and out of youth shelter since 1995, is that for a lot of kids where a kind of a predictable home environment is pretty unusual, that, you know, by working with them and sort of setting some parameters, setting some limits, doing some modeling, they come to know and to appreciate that kind of predictability, that you can, in fact, have a safe place to do your homework, to get something to eat, and no one's going to come in here and hurt you. You start to see kids relaxing and moving into it and accepting that change in the environment.
Absolutely, and we had talked a little bit last week about how they really have to be ready to do that too. At least a lot of mm-hmm. kids that we see at outreach, like I said, they're in there to meet their basic needs, and once they know that those needs can be met mm-hmm. through us being there consistently, and then sometimes they're able to get to a point where they decide they want to work on something else, where they decide they want to work on their GED or their job search or whatever. But we kind of have to fill that gap in the meantime to get them from the point of survival mode of just being able to, I need to brush my teeth, take a shower, I need some food, into, okay, I've met these needs, and now I'm ready to start working towards something else. And they do. They depend on us to be there and be stable for them throughout the entire process.
And I think some of that is that they're testing us.
Oh, absolutely.
See, you know, are we really going to be there?
Absolutely.
And you so know, consistency is yeah. the absolute yeah. bottom line yeah. that you guys have to provide.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, our crisis shelter out at the end of Agua Fria, we'll have young people come because maybe they've been removed from their home or they run away because it wasn't safe there. And they will come back, you know, several times, you know, whether they've run away from that situation again or they've been removed again. And then, of course, they age out when they're 18. And they can sometimes be eligible to go and live in our housing, in our apartments and transitional living. And if not, they find us another safe place to go. And then years later, they will come back and knock on the door. And you know, we even have some people who have come back to volunteer and work for us who have said, I would not be here yeah. if it hadn't been for this shelter. And now I'm ready to give something back.
In the last segment, we talked to Ruben Martinez, who was talking about the importance of thinking of ourselves all as neighbors, mm-hmm. no matter what our demographics are, no matter what our race or mm-hmm. class or means or where we live or age or any of that stuff. We're all neighbors. And I think that it's really important for all of us, for me, for everybody listening, to realize that these young people are our neighbors and that we're all in the same system, the economic system that creates prosperity for some, huge abundant wealth for others, struggling to survive but surviving for others, and completely falling through the cracks. It's one system. It's all the
same
thing.
It is. And, you know, you can be in one place today, and in 2 weeks, your situation can totally change. And the thing about these young kids is that, you know, they can come from a prosperous, affluent household that comes apart at the seams and be, you know, without anything.
Yeah.
And they have so much, there are resources for our community. And so in some ways they are, you know, yes, they are our neighbors, but they are the potential of the future of this town.
Right.
And we have to value them and be there for them and try and be partners with them to change their destiny. Because they are who is going to be running Santa Fe in the next 10 or 15 years.
And if they're not running it, they might be draining it.
Exactly. Or well, yeah, that's right.
So you are having a fundraiser very soon, the Tuesday, the 21st of August, right, at 5:30 at Las Campanas.
Right.
And it's called Boots, Bolos, and Boogie.
That is correct.
That sounds like fun.
It's going to be really fun. It's a group of volunteers came together, really led by someone in the community who has met our kids and said, oh my gosh, we have to do something about it. We have to educate people that there are homeless youth. And of course, being a nonprofit, we always are ready for a fundraiser. So it'll be an evening with Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs, whose big song was Sugar Shack. there's a live auction for some wonderful, a house in Scottsdale, Arizona, and one in Idaho, a beautiful diamond necklace.
Like a vacation.
Yes.
Kind of,
yes. So people can get their friends together. They can find out about it by going to youshelters.org. It's on our website, and it should be a really fun evening.
And encouraging everybody to come from, again, all our neighbors from all sectors of the community.
Yes, because, you know, that's right. We are neighbors, and these are our kids.
And in addition to the live auction, there's also a silent auction. And for more information, youthshelters.org or call 505-983-0586. You can ask for Erin. Karen Rowell is Executive Director of Youth Shelters. Emily Folks is Interim Program Director of the Street Outreach Program. Once again, youthshelters.org and the Boots, Bolos, and Boogie, Tuesday, August 21st at 5:30 at Las Campanas. We will see you there. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much for what you do in this world.
Oh, thank you for letting us spread the word.
Thanks.